Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Was asked by a member of the public to bring forward to your attention concerns about speeding on Caroline, Dogwood, and Stewart Streets. I myself, in traveling, have noticed this. I live off of Dogwood, and it just seems that people are just in such a rush to get to work or to get to wherever they want to be at lunch or later in the day, that people seem to forget that there are neighborhoods adjacent to the Dogwood at certain points. And people are going pretty fast.
Do they, John? You live in Milton. Do people ever speed on Dogwood, Caroline, Stewart Street?
They do.
Every single street in the known universe?
Yes, they do. But especially on those.
Yeah.
Because well, I drive it every day.
Well, and of course, you know, these are roads that are generally, except for across the water, they're big, they're wide open. Visually, there's nothing to slow you down. And
Right. Everybody's
either trying to, you know, qualifier for the Daytona 400, you know, when it's not a lot of traffic, or they're trying to beat the traffic when there is a lot of traffic. And either way, aggressive, rude drivers on those streets.
Oh yes, especially the big ones. That never mind.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you mean. So they were having this conversation at the Milton City Council meeting about speed. That was Mayor Heather Lindsay bringing a citizen complaint or concern up, which I think everybody can relate to. And Chief Tony Tindall, they were talking about things like, you know, they didn't really bring up the question of like speed humps. You can't really put those out on Caroline or Stewart or Dogwood. But they were talking about, you know, what about speed indicators? You know, the little white box on the side of the road with two wheels, and then it flashes blue and yellow or blue and red at you that, you're breaking the law, even though there's no enforcement there. You know, is there something that can be done, again, particularly on roads that are state roads, right? And Chief Tony Tindall says,
yes, it is. I mean, it's a nationwide problem. You go on interstate, you got people speeding. You anywhere you go. And I'm not saying it's okay. It just is a problem that everybody, every law enforcement agency is experiencing.
And I know he's not wrong. Everybody, everywhere does it. And it's, look, you probably speed. At least, you know, a little or maybe a lot. I do a little. I mean, I know we're in, you know, Florida. You can speed up to 5 miles an hour and not get a ticket. Unless I'm on the interstate, I don't generally go much more than that. But what's the problem? People drive what they're comfortable driving. And the speed limit never matches that. You know, what's the speed limit on 3 mile bridge? It's 45 miles an hour. What's the right speed for 3 mile bridge? 80. I mean, it's 80. It's the same as the I-10 bridge, right? So you drive what you're comfortable with, and people drive what they're comfortable with, right? That's the idea. And of course, the problem is also people overestimate their own driving skill. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but everybody thinks they're a good driver, pretty much. Everybody, then you may have noticed that they're not all good drivers, and so you have to deal with that problem all the time. But he says, look, they're trying to enforce it as much as they can, but there's really only so much you can do.
We are continuing our efforts to enforce speed. We will continue it. And but like I say, it just, you know, it's just not occurring only in the city of Milton. It is everywhere. We all see it every day.
Do you think people speed more and drive more aggressively now than they used to, John? Or are we just getting old?
No, they do. Trust me. Because you have a lot of newer drivers.
Yeah.
You know, we've been doing it for a few years, and they're just like, oh, this is a missile.
Yeah, it seems, I generally feel like the world has gotten worse since COVID,
mm-hmm.
And I think driving is another example of that, where I see weird stuff. I'll give you an example, okay? You know, I live in the Pensacola area, but Creighton is my favorite road, because Creighton is one of those rare roads that is not much used, but is the perfect road to get somewhere. Five lanes, you know, a center lane, 45 miles an hour. Don't touch my Creighton. You know, Creighton is a great road for getting from here to there. Every other road in this area has a flaw. Creighton is the perfect road. But I'm on Creighton. I'm going 50 in a 45. Legal. I mean, it's a violation, but it's not a ticketable. And I'm getting passed in the center lane. Like, idiots will pass, not often, but it does happen, where people will drive around me in the center lane through the turn lane to pass on going 60 or whatever they're doing. I'm like, what is wrong with you people? And that just doesn't seem like a normal thing. And so yes, everybody does it. It seems to be worse than it's ever been before. What can be done? See, Tony Tindall talking about it being a problem everybody deals with. I remember when Chief Tommy Leiter was at PPD. Now he's the chief deputy at the Scammy Sheriff's Office. And his big push for the longest time was speed enforcement. Speed enforcement, speed enforcement. Why? Because speeding is what causes wrecks. Speeding is what kills people. Speeding is what damages property and destroys cars. If people would just slow down, there would be fewer deaths and less property damage. It's the most preventable public safety risk, period, because of scope of problem, right? What's the problem? Everybody drives as fast as they want to drive because they don't believe it's too fast, and they don't believe they're going to get caught. And if they don't believe it's too fast, then the only way to get them to behave is to deter them, to discourage them and scare them, which is through enforcement. The problem is enforcement is hard because how do you bring people to that psychological place where they're afraid of getting caught, like Gulf Breeze? Well, through massive, repeated, long-term active enforcement, you give a lot of tickets and you make a robust display for a long period of time, and eventually people complain and moan but obey. How do we get to that place in other areas? John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Got an accident to let you know about on Barrancas Avenue and Lakewood Road. The roadway's clear, but the power lines are being dealt with, so you're going to see some delays there. Also, still dealing with a delay on I-10 eastbound. Not as bad as it was, I'd say a 5 to 7 minute delay between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Oh, man, did we strike a nerve? The texts are, like, massive. So, okay, somebody says 80 everywhere. Okay, somebody else says, if only we had traffic police that enforce traffic laws, I never see anyone pulled over. You know, fair. I mean, FHP will pull you over on the highway, you know, on the interstate, but you don't see a lot of speed enforcement. You might see police. Like, I know for a little while PPD was enforcing on 12th Avenue by the airport, or at least it felt like they were. And by the way, that's something that Chief Tindall mentioned, is he said, instead of just randomly enforcing different areas, if we can sort of focus on an area for a couple of months, people get the idea, and then they behave in that zone.
We can research on the signage, and I can get with you, Mayor, see if there's a new idea, something else that we can come up with. But for right now, we're doing, you know, pretty much everything we can. And you know, but we're limited in personnel, and a lot of times we'll go work in one area, transition to another area, and just move around in spots. We seem to be having a better concentrated effort if we do that, instead of just saying, okay, you go out on 90, you go out on Dogwood one at a time. It doesn't seem to be as effective.
Yeah, because if it's just sporadic all over the area, nobody learns that lesson. But if you realize that in your neighborhood they're enforcing, fine, you know, and that lasts not forever, but it's enough. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to create the fear, basically, in people that they're going to get a ticket. 437-1620, getting a bunch of texts in here. Somebody says, it's really irritating when people don't use the turn signals to change lanes, weaving in and out of traffic without using turn signals. Well, I mean, that's because we are in the midst of a global blinker fluid shortage. And
I knew that was it.
Yeah, that's why people don't use their blinkers, is because the fluid's out. And they don't know it's out. But even if they did know, I mean, you can't even buy it at Walmart anymore.
I know.
Yeah, so it's really hard to find. Somebody says they do that bleep on Fairfield. Oh, no, other roads where they do the passing in the middle lane. Yeah, we're getting a bunch of these texts in. Woodbine Road is the worst for center lane passers. I believe it.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, I cannot. And I see it on Burgess. Mm-hmm. Burgess is generally it's a two-lane road, and it's a double yellows pass, you know, when you're west past the Circle K and stuff. Man, I live in that area, and, you know, I'm going 40, 35, you go 40, and people will pass around you on the double yellow just because they can't wait an extra 8 seconds before they get to the railroad tracks. It's everywhere. I mean, it really is everywhere. He's not wrong about that. 437-1620, the safety standards that have been put into vehicles over the years make people think that they cannot die. Oh, you know, I think there's some moral hazard here. Moral hazard is the term philosophers use when you make a thing safer and therefore you get more of the bad thing you were trying to discourage. Like when there are no seatbelts, people drive so as not to be hurt, right? Look, just like rugby. In rugby, they don't have pads, so they don't hit as hard. Like in football, they hit harder and therefore you get concussions because they have pads. Because they think, I can hit as hard as I want and nobody will get hurt. In rugby, they only hit within the limits of what the human body can endure. So people actually get hurt less because they don't have the safety equipment. That's moral hazard. Okay, so same thing with cars. Yeah, I think that's some of it. I just think people are dill holes. Just, you know, or other substitute words that you cannot say on the radio. I never drive on Creighton Road, but I did today, and I experienced exactly what you said about the center lane, people driving all the way down it. It's crazy. Somebody says we need to have photo speed enforcement. You know, I'm not a fan, but I'm getting close. I don't think it's legal in Florida. You know, red light cameras are legal. I don't think photo enforcement is actually legal. I actually lived in a place in Arizona where they did have it. you know, and there was a grace. You know, but I don't think it's legal in Florida. But, see, here's the funny thing. Everybody complains about the speeders, but they are them. Everybody complains about the danger and the recklessness, but we're not really willing to do what it would take. I mean, if you really wanted to solve this problem, you could just put speed regulators on cars. You could have them GPS controlled. I mean, there's all kinds of things you could do, or photo enforcement. Nobody's willing to do that, right? And that's because we don't really believe in speed limits. So that's why we wind up having to do things like spend millions of dollars to redesign roads to make you uncomfortable to go fast, right? We played the clip yesterday from Chris Phillips, a traffic guy from Escambia County, where they're going to put like planters in the median of Perdido Key Drive in order to make it so that people, like at the crosswalks, so people approaching the crosswalks will feel like, something's wrong here. I need to slow down, because that's how the brain works. If you interfere with it by putting trees and parked cars and swales and, you know, all that kind of stuff, then people will slow down. But it's amazing that we have to do that instead of just building straight, wide open roads and then telling people, be cautious. You know, too bad, because they obviously don't. 4-3-7-16-20. Somebody says, I think you're just getting old, or says we. I think we're just getting old. Pensacola seems to be a laid-back town, but most people are in a hurry to go pretty much nowhere. It only takes you about 15 to 20 minutes to get across town. Okay, so human psychology. I will acknowledge this, okay? Rationally, I know it only costs me 8 seconds to drive behind a slow driver. And by slow, I mean they're going the speed limit. Boy, if they're going below it. Rationally, I know that I waste minutes all day, every day, doing all kinds of things. But the 8 seconds that this person doing 32 and a 35 is just, it's murder. You know, thank God there aren't rocket launchers, right? But that's the mindset of driving, is I got to conquer the driving. I got to win the driving. I got to feel like the pole position that I'm playing in my head is, you know, it's just psychology, right? Somebody says, they do like they do in Europe, speed cameras at the speed, mail them a deposit slip and attach the license plate. If not paid, they suspend the registration or make it harder to get a license.
And I've got a story about this. When I first went to London, I was driving and didn't switch over the miles per hour to kilometers.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So it said 70, and obviously I was doing more, and I got a ticket in the mail.
Okay.
Seriously, from London.
I believe it. Did you pay it?
Under protest. I was like, I want to go to court and fight this.
I'm going to fly back there and raise a ruckus.
Right.
4-3-7-16-20. Somebody says musical highways so that you know to go slower. That's where your car generates music going over the road surface so you know it's too fast. Somebody says, I only have a problem with it in residential areas. You know, West Gregory Street is horrible for speeders. People go 50 on that street. Days of going across town in 20 minutes have been over for quite some time, John. Well, we drive at weird times, so it's...
Right.
Oh, I will say this. I drive when there's no cars on the road because of when I work. And when the traffic is even just moderate, I'm like, why are y'all ruining my life?
Exactly.
It's not fair at all. The last thing Chief Tyndall said, as far as putting up the little devices that flash the red and blue, he says that doesn't work because half the time people just speed up for him.
Got myself, detectives, captains, and you know, us that are in unmarked vehicles, we're out there stopping people, and that's the approach we're going to take. We're going to keep on going. Like I say, the signage in some areas it does work, and in other areas, they just speed up to see if they can make the signs flash. You know, so for whatever reason, and you know, we've all seen it. I mean, if I'm in a Firebird, I've done it. But and not saying that's right, it's just a thing.
I love the honesty that in his own Firebird, he's done it. Oh, you're going to reward me with flashing lights and a radar check? Quick, go! You know, because I know that doesn't cost me a ticket. 8:25 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you need that next vehicle, maybe not a sports car, or if it is, but you know you're going to drive it according to the speed limit, or not. Either way, you know, I am here to judge. That's my job. But, you know, if you want to get a next vehicle, Frontier Motors has great quality used vehicles. 1, 2, 3 years young, low miles, great condition. And the thing about Frontier is they know you hate buying cars to begin with, and you probably hate buying, you extra hate buying used cars because, you know, it's that whole, I hope they don't take advantage of me and worry and all that. They do it differently. Okay, the cars are open. You can go test them, sit in them, look around, whatever, no problem. A bunch of them all, you know, the type all in one place so you can compare side by side. But also, when they give you a price sheet, it's got all the price and then it's out the door price. That's all you talk about. There's no then later they adjust it. Carfax is included with it. They know what people don't like about buying cars and they want to take away those things. I mean, we bought a car almost inadvertently because it was such a smoking deal on a car we really weren't quite ready to buy yet, but we couldn't turn it down. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Seeing about a five-minute delay, just volume traffic through there. And also, if you're east and westbound on Burgess, either heading toward 29 or coming from, we're seeing some major delays there also. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
It's hurricane season, and when a storm threatens our region, News Radio Pensacola has complete around-the-clock coverage you can count on. Our award-winning news team will be tracking the storm's every move, providing regular updates on the storm's path, intensity, and potential impacts. You can listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
This hurricane information is brought to you by DeFranco Gas. Get your home or business storm-ready. Install or maintain your generator with DeFranco Gas. DeFranco Gas does all things gas.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola this Friday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss this Friday at 9 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel. The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hi neighbors, this is Colton Wright, Santa Rosa County Commissioner for District 5. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for allowing me to serve you for the past 4 years. Thank you for having faith in me and showing your support during this primary election. I'll continue to use common sense and build strong relationships to ensure that we have a professional and productive board. Let's move forward. The future is bright for Santa Rosa County.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You're pretty hairy out there, sir.
You want to serve, soldier?
Yes, sir.
That's good, son, because you're either serve or fight. That's clear. Now get going.
I got good follow-up text in here on the speeding thing. Somebody says, yeah, but that 8 seconds the slow driver costs you could mean the difference between a green light and a red light, and then your whole life is ruined on Highway 90 for the rest of the day. Oh, man. I think I know the most frustrating thing that ever happens as a driver. You get stuck. This happens to me all the time on Burgess. Okay, I get stuck behind somebody who's going 33 on a 35, and I'm trying to get around them. And then finally, when you get onto Creighton and you want to, you know, you can go 45 and you can pass them. And then you pass them. And then you get to the light at Davis and you missed it by 2 seconds. And then they pull up in their little Nash Rambler behind you. And they're like, see, it doesn't matter so much. Yeah, because you did this to me. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yes. I am here. I'm just trying to wrap my head around what just happened.
I think I yelled at people. Man, I'm sorry. It happens.
The White House is hosting families that lost loved ones to overdoses today. It's to mark Overdose Awareness Week. Former President Trump being charged again in his January 6th election interference case. This comes after the Supreme Court ruled last month that he is entitled to some immunity for acts while in office. The Department of Justice said the new indictment reflects that ruling and the charges have now been narrowed. And
thank goodness we've got another case. I mean, it has been, what, at least a couple of months since they filed charges against the former president. So,
right. Absolutely.
I mean, I was kind of getting lulled into the idea that he hadn't committed any more crimes.
Well, we can't have that now, can we?
Yeah, thank goodness for the reminder.
And Lyft adding a rider verification program in an effort to improve security. This program puts a verified badge next to a rider's profile in the Lyft app, helping drivers confirm that the riders are who they say they are.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. Coming up next, our frivolous topic. This is going to be kind of an interesting one, having to do with swimming.
I'm Therese Crowley. She loves the yellow school bus, but Democrat nominee Kamala Harris riding a campaign bus with running mate Tim Walz saying the path to the White House runs through Georgia. Harris and Walz also scheduling her first sit-down with CNN tomorrow with a lot of policy question marks, including her new support for the border wall. Senator Lindsey Graham tells Fox,
I'll make an offer to the vice president. Send me over your wall proposal. I'll get you all the money you need if it's a real proposal.
Other questions for the Harris campaign. New claims that she does not support an electric vehicle mandate. GM is pulling back on building EVs due to low demand and now delaying its battery factory at New Carlisle, Indiana for a year. Special Counsel Jack Smith refiling election interference charges against former President Trump, removing parts that may be covered by presidential immunity. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 78 right now. We've got partly cloudy skies in Pensacola this morning. Two men are injured after a gunfight on Ledbetter Lane this morning. It happened early this morning, about 2:30. Channel 3 reports the two men were fighting. That led to them exchanging gunfire. One man was shot in the hand. Another was shot in the foot. Both are expected to recover. Deputies are still investigating. A statewide manhunt is over. A homicide suspect behind bars in Santa Rosa County after being stopped by the Florida Highway Patrol yesterday. That happened on I-10 about 9 o'clock Monday morning, actually, and he was wanted on a homicide warrant out of Manatee County. Idis Merkerson, currently being held now in the Santa Rosa County Jail, pending extradition back to Manatee County to face that charge. Mortgage rates are starting to come back down. They're now averaging about 6.46%, the lowest in just over a year. This comes after the Fed announced a cut in rates last week. The local realtors are telling our news partners at Channel 3 that with these changes, now may be the best time to lock down a home.
Another reason is interest rates go down. That means there's going to be more and more buyers that are out there, and that is going to cause, again, prices to go up, but it's also going to cause multi-offer situations. So it's going to make it more difficult for a buyer to actually secure a home.
Realtor Terry Mahoney with Keller Williams Realty, and she tells Channel 3 that as the interest rates go down, prices will also likely go up. A Pensacola man facing charges for allegedly threatening victims with a machete, jumping through a window to escape, and then attempting to run from deputies, all of this following a custody dispute. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says 39-year-old Roderick Lewis faces multiple charges in this case. Victims say Lewis threatened them with a machete on Sunday, then fled the scene. He was later found at his girlfriend's home, where he reportedly jumped through a window to get away. The next day, Lewis and his girlfriend, 41-year-old Crystal Sorrell, were found driving on Michigan Avenue. Deputies say they tried to stop the vehicle, but Sorrell led them on a high-speed chase, which ended with a pit maneuver. Then Lewis reportedly got out, tried to run on foot before eventually being caught in a backyard. Lewis is charged with aggravated battery, resisting an officer, possession of marijuana. Crystal Sorrell facing a charge now of fleeing and eluding. The law banning minors from being prescribed puberty blockers and hormone treatments in Florida is now being enforced again. This comes after a federal appeals court's decision earlier this week. Governor DeSantis says Florida is a, quote, refuge of sanity.
Kids should have an upbringing that reflects that.
The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals ruling blocks a lower court order against the ban as the case is appealed. It also bans transgender surgery for minors and requires transgender adults to receive their treatment only from a doctor. And Senator Marco Rubio criticizing National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan yesterday. Sullivan in China meeting the foreign minister in what Rubio is calling an embarrassing attempt to lower tensions. Rubio says the Chinese Communist Party is making a mockery of the Biden-Harris administration and says that They are killing Americans, stealing cutting-edge research, and exploiting massive trade loopholes. Rubio wants the White House to hold China accountable and impose consequences for their efforts. 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens with our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still dealing with the I-10 issues. It's gone down some, so if you're right now passing Pine Forest exit, you're going about halfway before you get to 29. You're going to start experiencing some delays through that construction zone. Also, Highway 90, if you're rolling from Pace into Pensacola, both east and westbound, you're going to see some delays there before you hit the bridge. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have some spotty rain chances as we head into the afternoon today. 40% chance of rain overall, high near 90 degrees, feeling much warmer. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Thursday, another chance of some pop-up showers and thunderstorms, 40% chance of rain in the afternoon, high near 93. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 79. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 80 degrees right now, partly cloudy in Pensacola. 80 in Gulf Breeze, also 80 in Milton. And your money now this morning. Our markets down by just a bit at the opening bell. The Dow is down 66 points at 41,169. S&P down just under 6 points at 56,20. The NASDAQ is down 22 points this morning at 17,729. 10-year bond rate is up a bit at 3.84%. Gold prices down $1,280 at $25.40. Silver prices are down 61 cents this morning, $29.81. Bitcoin down $22.61 at $59,782. Pharmaceutical company Eli Lilly now rolling out a new version of its weight loss drug at about half of its monthly price. Zepbound is administered by injection and being offered for $399 to $599 a month. The drug, as well as other comparable weight loss drugs, typically run about $1,000 a month. Companies are now reportedly being flooded with job applicants from North Korea. Tech startup Cinder says that it suspects as many as 4 in 5 applicants for some job websites are part of a remote work scheme aimed to help fund the North Korean state. Cybersecurity experts say it saw one email account automated to reply to 300 different jobs, usually in IT. And once they get hired, they use AI to do all the work and can make up to $300,000 a year. Video game voice actors are on strike today outside of Warner Brothers Studios. The SAG-AFTRA members say they want a new contract to protect their jobs against being lost to artificial intelligence. It's 8:38, your next news at 9, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3, working for you. Informative.
We're giving you your live election coverage.
Rick Scott running away with it. 87% of the vote at this point. Matt Gaetz running away.
Local.
We're speaking to Robert Bender, the election supervisor in Escambia County.
I think it's going really well.
Dependable.
Board of County Commissioners, District 1, Steve Stroberger beating Jeff Bergosh.
Up to the minute, down to the wire.
And then District 4, we had Ashley Hoffberger.
Election coverage that's informative, local, dependable. News Radio 92.3.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
So earlier this morning, shared the comments about Michaela, this wonderful young lady who is the rescue swimmer lifeguard, and she competed at Gulf Breeze High and then went on to University of Baltimore, Maryland, then Rutgers, and she won a national championship in lifeguarding. And one of the more interesting notes in the presentation to her last week at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting was the comment that the way they did lifeguard training and therefore the way they do the contests for lifeguard skills tests is based on kind of the historical way that they would do it, but the historical way they did it was based on the fact that people couldn't swim. Whereas now you assume that people have some swimming ability, or, you know, more often they can. Whereas in the past you kind of thought like they couldn't swim at all. And so, you know, using ropes basically to pull them in from the buoy, all that kind of stuff. And that got me thinking about the question of swimming and how many people swim and what percentage of the population. And I went down a whole rabbit hole earlier in the show. I don't know if I have time to share it with you. But my question for the day, the frivolous question for the day is, do you consider swimming an essential human skill? 437-1620, 437-1620. Now, on the Gulf, I think our answers to this are going to be a little bit biased because we're a water community. But do you consider swimming to be an essential human skill or an essential life skill? As in, if somebody can't swim, does that mean they're weird? There's something wrong with them. And, of course, if you don't swim, feel free to volunteer. We won't make fun of you. It just is what it is, right? John is swimming. 437-1620. You can text your answers. Is swimming an essential human skill?
If you live here, yes, but not lifeguard status skills.
Okay.
Not that skill set.
But yeah, I think this is kind of interesting. If you ask the question, can you swim? Americans say, yes, they can swim at a rate of like 80%. Okay? They say, yes, they can swim. But then if you actually ask them whether they have the basic skills necessary to qualify as a decent swimmer, that number actually drops down to like 56%. So if you can float or tread water for a minute, jump into deep water and come up for air, spin around in the water and find your way out, like don't get disoriented, getting out of a pool without a ladder and, you know, the shuffling bump. I don't know what you call it, but that's what I call it. And swimming one pool length without stopping. Those are the key skills. That's what differentiates between non-swimmer and swimmer. Only about half. All right. 437-1620. We have intern Katie in here watching the action today, being very impressed with her first ever time listening to talk radio. Is that right?
Yes.
And she's a UWF student, a marketing communication student. Yes. She's learning all the radio stuff. Katie, can you swim?
Yes, I can.
Are you a good swimmer?
I wouldn't say I'm like fantastic, but I can swim.
Okay. Can you do all those five things?
Yes.
Okay. See, you're a good swimmer. Do you think everybody can swim? Do you think, I mean, like, is it a weird thing if somebody can't swim?
I know a few people who actually can't swim.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Interesting. So for us, like, we considered it essential to teach the boys how to swim. That was a must do. And they can all swim. They're not necessarily great swimmers. My mom was a lifeguard and, you know, so I was forced into it. I mean, she was like a synchronized swimmer, so really good swimmer back in the day. But, you know, she forced me to learn, and I'm grateful for it. Like, I can't imagine not being able to swim well, but not everybody can even swim at all. 437-1620, let's take a look at these texts. Somebody says, 70% of the earth is covered by water, so duh. But you're not swimming in most of the world. You know, the relevant water. Oh, by the way, for comparison, I told you that I looked at how many people can swim. In India, apparently, half of 1% of the people can swim. So out of 1.4 billion, it's like 70 million or something like that that can actually, or 7 million that can actually swim. So very, very few in some places, which makes sense. If you don't have a lot of water to go swimming in, I guess you wouldn't. There's also a very interesting dynamic between wealth and swimming ability. in the United States anyway, that people who are better off financially are much more likely to be able to swim. High income is 70, and it's around the world. It's the same way. 76 to 24, yes to no in high income areas. Exactly reversed, 27 to 72, yes to no in low income areas. So poverty, at least global poverty, is connected to the likelihood that you're able to swim. 437-1620, somebody says two-thirds of the earth is water. Yes, it's an essential skill. Somebody says, I was a three-year varsity swimmer, by the way. Okay, absolutely, especially if you join the Navy, but you'd be surprised how many people do and don't know how to swim. Oh, we ran into that, right? That was what, who was it? I think it was the Chief of Naval Aviation Schools Command who made the comment at the Rotary Breakfast or Five Flags presentation where he said you used to be able to take it for granted that people applying to the military had athletic prowess and were physically fit and had played two or three sports, probably varsity sports, and knew how to swim. Not today. The loss of community pools and just a change in our culture, people play video games instead of playing sports, that you can't even assume that somebody applying for the Navy can swim, which I think is wild. You know, I mean, you gotta, because you're gonna go on a boat. You need to know. John's got, you had a comment or traffic on the fives? Go on.
Traffic on the fives. We're still dealing with the traffic light out at Kim Strand and East Kingsfield Road, so just be aware of that. Also, I-10 eastbound, I'd say just west of the Highway 29 exit there, you're gonna see just a minor delay. No worries on that. It's kind of thinning out and good to go. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you need electrical work, plumbing, air conditioning, or heating, next word is Peden. You see what happened to my brain. Or heating work done, Peden, they will take care of you. They have been around for 55 years. Started in Panama City, expanded east and west. They're all the way into Tallahassee, into even the eastern time zone, and now all the way west to Baldwin County last year, and this year over into Mobile. So anywhere along the Gulf Coast. Of course, they've been in Ellison Field for a long time. And this year, given that it is their 55th anniversary, they've got a bunch of specials. Now, the number you need to remember is five. Some variant of five is the only important number. No service fee with your air conditioning repairs if you do get AC repairs, and it's $55 off those repairs. If you have to replace the system, it's $555 off when the system is replaced. Or if you wind up just doing the inspection, as in you don't do repairs, then that's $55, you see? So everything is a five or a variant of a five. Professional service, on time, do the work they say they're going to do and stand by it with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Find out more, schedule an appointment, get information at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N. .com. Back to the question of the day, our frivolous question, is swimming an essential life skill? Is it weird if you can't swim? All right, Katie, I have a follow-up for you. Katie, the intern, is in here with us. Because, my wife swims. John, does your girlfriend swim?
Yes, okay. Very well.
Katie, I don't know, do you have a boyfriend?
Not
a boyfriend.
I do,
you do. Does he swim?
Yeah.
Would you date a guy who didn't swim?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I mean, would it, early in the relationship when you're not invested, oh, by the way, I don't swim, would that feel like a deal breaker to you?
I'd definitely be like, ooh, but yeah, like, it's exactly. Not a deal breaker necessarily.
Yeah, but you would feel like that was super strange, right?
Yeah.
Especially if it's here.
Yeah.
Right, on the Gulf Coast. Okay, because, you can't go paddleboarding.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you can't do with somebody who doesn't swim. 437-1620, somebody says, aren't we a mammal? And I think if I recall correctly from elementary school, the mammals are supposed to be able to swim instinctively. I've seen some of the human mammals not really showcase that so well. Somebody says yes, unless you're never near. We consider it a safety thing. I want my kids to swim partially because it's like an essential human skill, but partially because I don't want them to drown somewhere, when they're near water. Let's see. Somebody says people owe it to others to know how to swim. Most definitely if you live in Florida. Swimming is an essential survival skill that has a very binary outcome when you end up in the water unexpectedly. Yeah, it is literally sink or swim, right? Somebody says, I think more of water confidence as an essential human skill, not so much the fact that you can swim for miles or hundreds of yards, but rather that you can get in the water and not drown. No, that's fair. That's fair. And you don't have to necessarily like it, but you ought to be able to do it. And I think that, treading water, being able to swim, a couple hundred feet without dying, is probably a pretty important thing. I'm 57, somebody says, and I still wear floaties. Around your arms? What is it? Princess Ariel? At this point, why mess up a good thing? Well, sure. All right. My dad threw me in a pool at the age of four, and that day I learned how to doggy paddle. Yeah, no, you can teach kids early. Yeah, they very, very early. I have no idea. Let's see. Oh, I'm not necessarily a classical swimmer, but at least I'm drown proof. Okay, that's good. That's good. Teach them how to swim when they fall off the paddleboard. That's a good date, right? Back to Katie's comment. The hardest thing to do is to teach an adult how to swim. Oh, I bet that's true. Oh, I bet that. Somebody says one of our Navy students was born and raised in an African community. He swims like a rock. Oh, I learned this. You know the kind of the trope, whatever, the idea that black people don't know how to swim, okay? I read this earlier today because, like I said, I was down a deep rabbit hole on this subject. And one website I came across said that in the 17th century, it was estimated that about 80% of enslaved Africans in the United States could swim compared with just 20% of white people. Over time, that ratio tipped in the favor of whites' favor as many slave owners chose to ban swimming among slaves. And swimming was, I thought that was fascinating. And of course, you know, Africans, like people who live in Africa and live near water communities, of course, often very strong swimmers. I think it's a matter of your exposure, right, to the water and how much you have to do it or not do it. But I thought it was interesting that historically, until it became a recreational activity, not very many people swam in the United States. And, you know, so 10, 20% of people could swim until, you know, then it became fun and popular in the Olympics and all that. So there you go. That is our, somebody says if you can swim and join the Navy, they still make you wear a life jacket on the ship. Well, okay. I mean, you know, all right, fair enough. 8:51 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you are thinking about selling your home or buying a home or picking up a rental or getting an Airbnb or, I don't know. There's all kinds of reasons you might look at real estate. What's the market doing? What are the interest rates doing? What's a good buy or not a good buy? Or how do you get the best value for your buck or the best price when you're trying to sell? Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. They're just really, really good at this. 175 homes sold last year. And listen, you can ask me, you know, what I think about the market and can you make money and is the rental stock, it has definitely gone up. Does that mean that a rental's not a good idea anymore? Don't ask me. Ask somebody who knows this and does this for a living. And Christina Leavenworth, she is a self-described real estate nerd, loves talking about it, loves thinking about it, even solving hard challenges like what to do with divorcing people who need to sell a home or what to do with an estate sale when you're selling a home. And people don't always agree in these situations. Much more complicated than just you or you and your spouse trying to sell something. So she actually went to school, like took courses in order to be able to do that. That's kind of her dedication to her craft. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Why service your firearms?
Well, here's why.
Regular cleaning and maintenance isn't just about keeping your firearm accurate. It's about ensuring they operate reliably when you need them most. When it comes to firearms, Jim's is the trusted choice. They consistently deliver top-notch service to keep your guns in peak condition. So swing by Jim's Firearms and discover why they're the industry's go-to experts. Stay safe. Stay accurate. Visit Jim's Firearms today. Located at the corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento, near the back gate of NAS, or online at jimsfirearms.net.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Navarre Farmers Market, Combs of Honey, is Saturday from 10 till 2 at the corner of 87 and Segura. Explore and enjoy the wide range of products. GetRelaxing.com for more. The Greater Pensacola Commissioning Committee is proud to welcome the USS Richard McCool to NAS. Take a free tour next Monday through Wednesday afternoons. Get info at PensacolaNavyLeague.org. Submit your nonprofit event at NewsRadio923.com.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
What a country! America, love it!
Good morning, 8:54 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens is here with me, and intern Katie is here. Katie, was that your first time on the radio forever, ever?
Yes, it was.
Oh, good job. You did good. How do you feel?
I feel good.
All right. You feel like you could do it again?
Yeah.
All right. Good. as I ask her, she's already talking on the radio. It's just talking, right?
Yeah.
But we have this conversation a lot. There are people your age don't always love the talking.
Yeah.
The texting is better, right?
No. I like talking on the phone better than I like texting. Yeah.
What?
She's a unicorn. All right. Since I have you here, this is a topic for a different day, but when somebody texts you and they put a period at the end of the sentence, is that rude?
It depends on the context, but sometimes like maybe like a little attitude.
See, this is a topic for a different day. I learned this the other day that Gen Z or millennials, they don't like, they think periods, punctuation in text is arrogant, confrontational, strident. It's, you know, you don't need that.
It also depends who it comes from.
Fair. Yeah. And, you know, you'd know, like, from your parents, you wouldn't think of it that way. But from a friend,
I'd be like,
what are you trying to say? What does it mean? Yeah. What's the subtext here? Right. Yeah. Well, this, we'll come back. Maybe we'll do this now. But anyway, John's got traffic on the fives. John?
That explains a lot right there. I didn't even know that. You got a traffic light out at Kim Street and Road and East Kingsfield Road. So definitely be aware of that. I-10's flowing smoothly. I-110 looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Actually, since I have made us be here now by asking the question, I guess we'll get into it a little bit. The headline was, that stunned me, using a full stop, this was a British site, a period, they called it full stop, using a full stop in text messages is upsetting our young people. What's next? And the article was all about how if, you know, you old, then you do punctuation in your text, and if you young, a full, you know, like a text is a single sentence, right?
Yeah.
Don't bore me with your long text. Send me 5 texts.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And don't punctuate because that's just why. What's with the tone? Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, can you condense those 5 down to just 1 so that way it doesn't go bzz, 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 bzz?
See, this is also frivolous for another day, but yes. I would rather get 1 message than get beeped at 5 times.
Right.
But your generation,
yeah,
5 texts.
Like, I don't want to send 1 big long text.
But and the way you saw, like, the value of a period is that it tells you it's the end of a sentence and the beginning of a new one. But if you're sending each sentence as its own text,
there's no need for the period,
yeah, right? It's just rude.
Yep. Hmm.
And you never, John, you'd never heard this, right?
No, I was
and
wondering.
So I thought this was somebody who was pulling my leg. I thought, come on, you, seriously? And then I looked, and it's all over. The text is the punctuation, right? Really? So you don't need punctuation. And if, you know, if you use a period, that's kind of like using an exclamation mark. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. So what does an exclamation mark mean?
Like emphasis, like big emphasis.
Like really, you're yelling.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're really.
All caps. All caps, baby. That's how we do it.
And I found multiple, articles about this Gen Z millennial phenomenon where they interpret the text that way. But if you know the text is coming from somebody who's my age, okay, 53, you wouldn't interpret it that way. You're like, he's old, it's okay, right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you might not say that he's old, it's okay, but you would know that, like, can you decode the difference between...
Yeah, like, you didn't mean any harm, like, that's just how you text.
So you wouldn't find it off-putting if it were me, because you know it's me.
Yeah.
But if some stranger, I don't know how they'd get your phone number, but okay. So,
yeah. What does a comma mean? Is a comma okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, good. Okay. I just want to make sure about these things.
What I love is not that her answer was it's okay, was like, yeah. Duh. Don't you?
I'm just verifying.
Do you remember the 8-year-old girls in the car with their aunt, and she was asking them all the words you don't, and they're like, oh my God, you don't really say that, do you? That was sort of the attitude. It's like, yeah, I mean, duh. But then there's going to probably be somebody who's like 10 right now, and in 8 years, you're going to text them a comment, and they'll be like, why? What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because the rules change. Yeah. All right. 437-1620. Even the length of the text message, long text messages are bad. So short, right? Get it to the point.
Keep it short.
I'm confirming with my in-house expert, right?
Keep it short.
Short. Okay. 3 lines is too long.
Yeah, almost.
One to two.
Yeah,
okay.
One to two.
With emojis always?
No emojis.
No emojis?
Yeah.
We've ditched emojis. Emojis for old people too.
I don't really use them.
Oh, okay. Do your friends? Okay. Thanks, Katie.